Hello. On behalf of the entire Norman family, I'd like to welcome you here today to Jean's service, and just thank you for coming here to be with us to remember her fondly. Would you bow with me as I open us in prayer? Our Father, who is in heaven, in the midst of our tears, even as we mourn Jean's passing, we thank you for her kind and gentle spirit, the impact she's had on all our lives, and we praise you as you have received her to yourself in glory for all eternity. We thank you that you have brought her to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and that as your children, we are comforted with the glorious hope of the resurrection and the life eternal. Grant us grace to say with a believing heart that thy will be done, and to know your will is a perfect and gracious will, even in this hour of our sorrow. Comfort us through the gospel, which promises strength and help to the troubled and the weary. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
A life of faith, love, and strength. This is written by Grandma's daughter, Renee Norman Norris, and it's being read by me, Tyler Norman. I'm Joe's third son and grandson number five. Her early life, Elma Jean Norman was the first daughter born to Jesse and Delphia Neiswanger on April 2, 1934. She joined her older brothers, Arthur and J.R., and was later joined by her sisters, Mary and Linda. Mom lived in several places while growing up, but her fondest memories were from the family farm in Hamilton, Missouri, and later at 3601 Virginia in Kansas City. Many of the photos in her memorial slideshow come from those special years. Life on the farm instilled in her a strong work ethic and a deep appreciation for family and values that would define her entire life. Love and marriage. While living in Kansas City, Mom met her future husband, Jerry Norman, through her brother, J.R., at church, a meeting grounded in faith. They were married for 72 years, walking side by side in service to God. While no marriage is perfect, my parents stuck through the tough times and were always there for each other. Together, they raised three children, Vic Norman, deceased in 2021, Joe Norman and Jennifer, Renee Norris and Chris. A devoted grandmother, she was a proud grandmother to 11 grandchildren. From Vic, Jamie Langston, married to Patrick, Lexi Lacey, Levi Griffith, and Caleb Griffith. From Joe, Justin Norman, Wesley Norman, Tyler Norman, married to Emily, and Wade Norman. From Renee, Logan Fisher, married to Liz, Landon Fisher, married to Peyton, and Lucas Fisher, married to Lauren. Mom was blessed with 17 great-grandchildren, Jake, Aaron, Mark, Jamie's, Jordan, Wyatt, and Devin, Lexi's, Caleb Jr., Caitlin, Clara, Cora, Caleb's, Cooper, Piper, and Poppy are mine, Franklin and baby girl, Landon's. Spencer, Lucas's, and Delaney, Logan's. Mom loved each of her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren very much. She was playful, nurturing, and a source of love in their lives, reflecting the love of Christ in every hug, every story, every prayer, and every chocolate chip cookie. Her work and service. Mom's first job was at TGMY at age 17, followed by a long career at Sears in Kansas City. She typed orders and later worked in the returns department, where her creative ideas and dedication were recognized and rewarded. She retired in 1984. After Logan was born, Mom became a full-time babysitter and then part-time until all of my boys were in school. I will never forget how she unselfishly and lovingly cared for them as if they were her own. She was truly a blessing to me and to them. Mom came to know Christ in her preteen years. Her devotion to God shaped every part of her life, from the way she worked to the way she served and loved her family. She was a faithful member of the Gregory Boulevard Church of Christ in Raytown, Missouri. Following a long battle with dementia, Mom exchanged this broken earthly life for her heavenly home on May 1st, 2025. She was preceded in death by her parents, her, her siblings, Arthur in 1993, J.R. in 2018, and Mary and Linda in 2021. She was also preceded in death by her son, Vic, in 2021. Her legacy is one of endearing love, quiet strength, and steadfast faith. She didn't seek recognition or applause, only to follow God and love her family well. That truly was everything to her. As it says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Mom lived those words with God's amazing grace. She ran her race with a heart full of faith that never wavered. Her journey is complete, her reward eternal, and her legacy will live on through the lives she touched.
The family has asked me to share some memories that they have, the immediate family, so I'll be sharing memories from Joe and Renee and then Jerry and also from Jean herself. Joe was able to come to Kansas City the night before Aunt Jean, before Jean, passed away and stay a few days afterwards. He was able to come back for this. He was unable to come back for this service, but sent these memories. So these are from Joe. One of my good early memories is when I was around 5 or 6 years old and we lived on Cambridge Street. It was a beautiful, warm spring day and Mom had told me to take a nap. I remember waking up on my bed and feeling the nice breeze blowing in through the window. Mom was at the foot of the bed, ironing some clothing, and I just remember feeling so at peace and happy. Her presence in that moment brought me a sense of being cared for and loved. You know, they asked me to do this because it's hard to read your loved one's memories without crying, but they may have chosen the wrong person. Another young memory is simple, but has also stuck with me. I was in fourth grade and had been playing outside and fell and skinned my knee pretty good. I went inside and told Mom, and she went and got a Band-Aid and some Bactine, and we went outside and sat on the front step. She sprayed Bactine on my scraped knee and then leaned over and blew on it to keep it from stinging as much. It's just another memory I've had that showed how much she cared. Another memory around the same time frame was when she made me some tapioca pudding, dished some into a bowl, and then went outside with me and sat on the step together and talked while I ate my pudding. She knew I loved that pudding, and it made me feel special. I made my fair share of trips to the dentist when I was in grade school. On one occasion, Mom had to come and get me out of school to take me to a dentist appointment. Afterwards, as we were driving home, Mom surprised me by taking me to see the Walt Disney movie Pinocchio. That was quite a treat and very unexpected. It was a special time together. Lastly, I remember we were traveling back home from being on a family vacation. We stopped somewhere rather scenic to take a break and ended up in a field by a creek. I remember Mom and I sat down by the creek and she pointed out some tadpoles in the water and we both reached into the water and caught one. We talked about them and put them back in the water and watched them swimming around. I remember that Mom seemed so happy and relaxed doing this simple thing, and it reinforced the idea to enjoy the simple joys of life. I would also like to mention what a great cook she was. She made a lot of great meals. I think her fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy were the best I ever had. She was a great example of a responsible and diligent worker. She would work all day at Sears and then come home and cook supper, and then afterwards would often do other jobs like laundry or ironing. I didn't realize at the time how much that taught me, but it definitely stuck with me. Now I have memories from Renee. I'm pretty wordy and sentimental and could fill hours with specific memories of Mom, so I will just describe my mother in a couple of paragraphs. Mom lived with dementia for many years, and it was easy to forget what she was like in her good and stable years. She was shy, an introvert with a capital I, a problem solver with a lot of creative intelligence, and an expert in safety. No one was getting hurt or even sunburned on her watch. She only always wanted the best for her kids and grandkids. She loved games and puzzles, had a quick and rich sense of humor, and I loved that she would often laugh so hard that she cried. She loved chocolate-covered raisins, chocolate cake, and Snickers bars. She was an excellent cook and was a very hard worker at whatever she set out to do. She could paint and wallpaper with the best of them. She encouraged me when I was down and corrected me when I was wrong. She held me accountable to God's word and prayed over all of us constantly. I don't think most people truly knew her like I did, but I'm not sure I saw her like this myself until I started taking care of her. My perspective has definitely gotten deeper and grown clearer with age. I feel so thankful to God that she was my mom. Amen. And now some memories from Uncle Jerry. I'm sure he has many, many, but he has shared just a few with us. Jean had a beautiful singing voice. One year from my birthday, she recorded herself singing some hymns, and I still have the recordings. Jean really enjoyed teaching Sunday school when she was younger. Did she teach Sunday school here? I wonder. She loved the outdoors and liked to walk and enjoy nature. As part of her illness, she had some trembling and shaking at times. When I played Christian hymns, she would stop shaking, a testimony to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A fun memory of Jean was when the Charles Mallett family had a fall harvest costume party at their house, and no one could guess who she was in her costume. She had that low-key, unassuming, and humorous side to her that was rarely seen, except for those that were very close to her. Those are very special. So another thing that's very special, and I think this is wonderful that Renee did this, was she gave Jean a little book to write about her growing up years. And here are some of those Jean's stories. They start with a question and then Jean's response. What were some of the best presents you ever received when you were a kid? Real underwear that came from Sears or Ward's. Until I was 12 years old, I wore underwear made from flour sacks. My mother cut them out and had me sew them up on the treadle machine. Then I had to run the elastic in the waist and legs. Mother made skirts out of feed sacks, and we wore them to school and church. It was very humbling. I don't think I could ever say that I wore feed sacks for underwear. When we lived in Hamilton, Missouri, Daddy got us a very cute puppy as a present to all of us kids. We named him Peanuts because he had brown spots over his eyes. We loved him. All of the nice longer girls had an affinity for dogs. I could, yes, second that. When you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up? I always wanted to get married and have a baby. As a child, I didn't think about having to work, just play with my baby. Ha! I didn't know how much it cost to raise a child and how much work was involved. None of us do. What were some of your favorite childhood memories? My sisters and I played school, and I was a teacher. We also played with paper dolls a lot. When I was a teenager, I wanted to have nice new store-bought clothes. When I was 17 years old, Mother let me move to Kansas City, where Daddy was working at the time. I got a job at TGNY and worked 6 days a week, making 50 cents an hour. I was in the money. On payday, I went to the Three Sisters store and bought some really cute dresses. Mary and I were the same size, so when the rest of the family moved to KC, I shared my clothes with her. Another memory I had was that we all had to milk cows, but Linda never had to. Also, JR and I got daily spankings. I think we needed them. We were ornery. What were some memories of your mom and dad? Daddy loved to read the Bible to us and help us memorize verses. Thank you, Grandpa. Mother liked to play games with us and teach us how to sew and cook. Daddy also liked to take us swimming. One day I nearly drowned. I got too far out from in the swift part and was yelling for help, but no one could hear me. I dog paddled until I finally got into shallow water. What was the worst mischief you got into when you were young? When JR and I were 4 and 5 years old, we ran across the highway just to make the cars honk at us. A train track also ran along the road, so we went up there and we're going to run across the railroad tracks, but when the whistle blew, it scared us so badly we started back in a hurry. Mother met us when we were coming back, and we got spanked, as we did each day. So why not? I mean, Another time when JR and I were about 5 and 6, we lived a block from Bud Park. We would go up there to the swimming pool, and one day mother said we could go and watch the other kids swim, but not to get in the pool. It started sprinkling while we were there, so JR and I were going to get wet anyway. JR said we were going to get wet anyway, so mother would never know. Well, she did know, and we got our daily spanking. How did you meet Dad? At a church singing, JR introduced us. We dated 3 months before he ever kissed me. And after we were married, I asked him what took him so long. And he said he wanted to sooner, but he was afraid to. That's the end of those memories.
Hey, everybody. My name is Lucas Fisher. I am the youngest grandson, I think, right? The youngest grandson. There's a lot of us. When putting all this together, it was hard to pick out of so many memories just because I got to spend so much time with her. And while my brothers went to school and my mom was working, that meant I got to spend the day at Grandma and Papa's house. And I think I got the better end of the deal between the two of those because Grandma and I got to spend all day together and do lots of fun stuff. It's really hard to think of memories of Grandma without thinking about Papa and Grandma's kitchen table and all the things that we did around there between playing games and doing puzzles and spending Thanksgiving and all these different meals that we got to share together. I always loved seeing all the new toys and games that she would find from the garage sales that they would go to on the weekends and that Papa would bring home from the storage facility. That was always fun. I remember her introducing me to Wheel of Fortune, which was her favorite game show. You would think with all the hours of listening to Wheel of Fortune that I might be better at it by now, but I think I was busy playing with Legos or digging through some box of toys at the time. But we would read books together. We would go on walks around the neighborhood, and personal favorite time of ours was snack time. At a young age, Graham instilled a sweet tooth in me that I'm sure she would be proud of today. She loved her sweet treats, and she loved making them and sharing them with her family. She was the one that taught me that having a bit of ice cream is okay because it was made with milk, and milk is good for you. So, when I was in first grade, there was an incident on a trampoline involving two gentlemen that you'll get to meet here shortly. But there was a lot that I don't really remember about that day, but the thing that I do remember was getting into the back of the car, and my grandma was there, and I put my head on her lap, and I fell asleep because I felt safe because she was always there. She took such great care of us. Sorry. I have my own son now, and unfortunately she didn't get the chance to meet him before she passed, but on the day that she did, I was holding him, and he has such the biggest smile, and I know that she would have loved him so much, and that was something that I'll always remember about her, was there was nothing that could make her smile or laugh quite like a baby could, because she loved us so much. And I know that I can love my family because of how she loved me. And I'll always be grateful for that. Oh, so sorry, y'all. She was such a great woman. One of the verses that Graham wanted us to share today was from 2 Corinthians 5:8. And that verse says, "We are confident, yes, well-pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And today, as we gather in remembrance and grief, this verse offers us confidence and comfort because Paul reminds us that for those who trust in Christ, death is not the end, but rather a homecoming. That to be absent from the body is not to be lost, but to be present with the Lord. And this means that while we feel the pain of separation, that our loved one is not alone. She's not in darkness. Her mind is restored and her body is made brand new. She has entered the presence of perfect peace, love, and joy, and in the very presence of our God. Though despite Our assurance in her heavenly homecoming, our hearts can feel heavy and saddened, but it's okay to grieve. Even Jesus himself wept at the grave of a friend. In John chapter 11, we read about the story of Jesus and the death of his close friend Lazarus. Upon arriving in the city of Bethany, Jesus is met by the two sisters of Lazarus and a crowd of people, mourning and weeping at the loss of their loved one. Surrounded by the sight of those mourning and his own feeling of grief, the Bible tells us that he was deeply moved at the sight of all of this and wept for his friend. This moment shows us that Jesus is not distant from our pain. He enters into it with us, and he weeps with us. It's a reminder that our mourning is not unspiritual or weak. Even the Son of God wept at the loss of someone he loved. It validates our grief and assures us that God is near to the brokenhearted. One of the most striking parts of the story for me was of Lazarus is what didn't happen right away. It's that Jesus delays. When Mary and Martha, the sister of Lazarus, send word that their brother is sick, they would likely expect Jesus, who had healed strangers and calmed storms and opened the eyes of the blind, to come immediately. But instead, he waits 2 more days before going to them. And by the time he arrives, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And it's easy to imagine their heartbreak and confusion. Where was he? Why didn't he come? Didn't he care? And yet Jesus wasn't late. His timing, though confusing, was purposeful. He told his disciples, "This sickness will not end in death. It is for God's glory." What seemed like a delay was actually divine timing, a setup not for despair, but for a greater revelation of who Jesus is. And this is a lesson in faith. Faith isn't just trusting that God can act. It's trusting him even when he doesn't act, when or how we might expect. In the time of loss and sadness, it's natural to wrestle with questions. Why now? Why this way? Couldn't things have been different? Mary and Martha asked those same questions, but Jesus led them to a deeper trust, not just in what he could do, but rather in who he is. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus explains, "I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." So in our suffering, when God feels distant or his answers delayed, we are encouraged to hold on, not to answers or to an explanation, but rather to God himself. Faith means trusting that God's timing is not random, and his love has not abandoned us, even when we don't understand. What we see as a delay may be the very place where God is preparing to reveal something deeper. His presence, his power, and his promise that death never has the final word. For we are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Landon. I'm the middle son of Renee. I did want to share about Grandma's good cooking. I feel like every time we had a meal from Gram, a nap had to follow. That's the kind of food it was. It was just so good, you needed a nap afterwards. So one of our traditions, at least between the brothers, would really whoever finished first would usually go straight to the living room and lay down on the couch. And then the other two brothers would, of course, naturally dogpile upon the other try to sleep, but it didn't last long. And it was funny because it was mentioned that Grandma was a kind of a, she loved safety. So I'm not sure exactly what she always thought about us dogpiling on each other, but she let us do it because she did like to have fun too. I do enjoy those memories. I learned pretty early in life what my favorite snack would be. She always fixed me up peanut butter sandwiches. Just 2 pieces of bread, perfect amount of peanut butter, folded up, and then microwave. I remember 13 seconds. I don't know if that's something that I kind of perfected by myself, but to this day, it's always 13 seconds for me. If you haven't tried it, try it. It's a game changer. But I certainly cannot eat a peanut butter sandwich now without thinking about Grandma. I can't think of eating apples the way she'd always peel them and slice them up so we didn't have to worry about the seeds. She always fixed them up just the right way. And so I'll always, anytime I'm eating those snacks, I'm always going to think of Graham fixing it up for us. I would say I definitely will miss Grandma preparing it for me because snacks always tend to taste a little better when they're made by someone you love. I always remember Grandma as someone who was selfless and nurturing. quick to meet everyone else's needs before her own. I remember what it felt like to be with Grandma, warm, comfortable, safe, and fun. Grandma had a fun side to her that others may have not always been able to see as much as us, but she encouraged play and imagination and actively played with us as grandkids and didn't just, you know, sit on the sidelines. But she took pleasure in playing with our toys and doing puzzles with us and just joining us in our play and kind of fueling our creativity and imagination. And I'm really grateful for that. I know what it meant to me and my brothers, and also for my mom, who's now a nay-nay to many grandchildren, and I see how Grandma's nurturing and loving self has left her mark on my mom. One of the verses that I wanted to share is it's from Psalm 23:6. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In studying and figuring out what I wanted to say about this verse, I stumbled upon a wonderful commentary from an old 18th century Scottish minister that is much more poignant and poetic than anything I think I could ever come up with. So I hope it blesses you in the same way that it blessed me. This is from Alexander McLaren. He says, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This should be at once the crown of all our hopes for the future." This should be the crown of all our hopes for the future and the one great lesson taught us by all the vicissitudes of life, the sorrows and the joys, the journeying and the rest, the temporary repose and the frequent struggles. All of these should make us sure that there is an end which will interpret them all, to which they all point, for which they may all prepare. The sheep are led by many a way, sometimes through sweet meadows, sometimes limping along sharp-flinted, dusty highways, sometimes high up over rough, rocky mountain passes, sometimes down through deep gorges with no sunshine in their gloom. But they are ever being led to one place. And when the hot day is over, they are gathered into one fold, and the sinking sun sees them safe, where no wolf can come, nor any robber climb up anymore. I'm glad Lucas was the first to cry. Where no wolf can come, nor any robber climb up anymore, but all shall rest forever under the shepherd's eye. Brethren, can you take this psalm for yourselves? Have you returned unto Christ, the shepherd and bishop of your souls? Oh, let him, the shepherd of Israel and the Lamb of God, one of the fold and yet the guide and defender of it, human and divine, bear you away from the dreary wilderness whither he has come, seeking you. He will carry you rejoicing to the fold, if only you will trust yourselves to his gentle arms. He will restore your soul. He will lead you and keep you from all dangers, guard you from every sin, strengthen you when you come to die, and bring you to the fair plains beyond that narrow gorge of frowning rock. Then this sweet psalm shall receive its highest fulfillment, for as it says in Revelation, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God himself will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I rejoice greatly today that Grandma Jean's heart, soul, mind, and strength are restored, and that she has found perfect and complete rest, resting forever in the love and safety of the shepherd's arms. Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon. My name is Logan Fisher. I'm the oldest of Renee's sons, brother to the two that just spoke. And just want to thank all you guys for being here, everyone that's here today, for helping us celebrate my Grandma Jean's life, and for just being attentive and listening to the things that we have to say, and just being here to celebrate her. I think that I also want to thank my mom for everything that you've seen here today is just put together by her, and I think that she's just a great testament to Grandma Jean as a mother, with her being her only daughter and the woman that she is, and I think that says a lot. As far as memories, you've heard a lot, and it
would be hard for me to get through what I am going to say if I shared too many, but I think it's really important to understand just how much she loved her family, and that the thing that brought her the most joy in life was being with her family and loving us so well. From all the things they've already said, I had a unique opportunity, I guess, to have this relationship that I had with my grandma from the time I was a kid all the way through college. My family moved, and I stayed in the Kansas City area and went to school in St. Joseph, Missouri, and I would come home sometimes almost every weekend, and I would stay with Grandma and Papa, who were just the best hosts. And I can't even explain how rich it is to have those memories and that time with her as I was growing into adulthood, and the conversations that we had, the games we played, and just the time that we had together. So she was an amazing woman, and I'm very thankful for her. And the last verse that I was asked to share today is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2. And as I was thinking about what I will say about this verse, I read the entire passage kind of for context, and I thought that maybe the best thing to say about it would be to read just some of the context of it. And Corinthians is a book written by Paul to a church that was doing some kind of weird stuff. And I think just hearing the first, you know, part of the book is him addressing some of these things, you know, and don't do this, don't do this, why are you doing this? And then I think it's sometimes hard for people in general, but also as Christians, to hear these things and without the why, the culmination of why it is that we have this way that we live as believers, right? And so Paul gets to it here in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 10. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. And this is verse 2, our hope for today. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect." Today, as we gather to remember Gene's life, I just think that I'd be remiss to not or to assume that we don't all come from different places. And if today you know the goodness of Jesus and are walking with him, then please be encouraged. A good and faithful servant has been called home. May we bless his name. Maybe today you're here, though, and you struggle with some of these claims that Paul is making about Jesus here. Maybe you struggle with the reality of Jesus as a person, the reality of Jesus dying and being resurrected. And I won't go into too much, but just as what I read, Paul makes a short case in those verses 3 through 8 that Jesus was a real person. Just as anything we know about history is just written down, right? We just have to take the authors and the multiple authors in this case for what was said, and makes his case that Jesus died, he was buried, he was resurrected, many people saw him. And I would just, if that is you today and just you struggle with that, and we're up here talking about all this hope that we have in Christ and grandma being at home with Jesus, I would just ask that you consider Jesus and consider the implications of if that is true. And finally, maybe you're here today and you just aren't sure. Maybe you don't know where you stand. You've never known the goodness of Christ, or maybe you have and circumstances have driven you away. Some of us have shame, apathy, bitterness, or brokenness. As we close out, I would ask you just a few questions. And just from this passage, who do you identify with? Is it Paul? Is it a religious man who knew everything about God but yet didn't know God? You might say, well, I'm not religious, but all of us are religious in some way or another. What is it that captures your talent, time, and treasure? Paul had all the qualifications, but he was hostile towards the Lord. You might identify with Paul. What about Peter? Paul says that Christ appeared to Cephas, which is who we know as Peter. Peter walked with Christ personally every day, told Jesus that he would die for him. And as most of us is familiar, Christ told him before the rooster crows, "You will deny me three times." Of course, Peter did not believe that. However, he did deny him three times. And it says that at that time, Christ looked into his eyes. And I just can't imagine the shame that Peter must have felt in that moment. And it was so much so that even after it says in the scriptures Jesus was resurrected and appeared to the apostles and to Peter specifically, that Peter returned to his old life and started fishing again. He wasn't sure that he was worthy. And the last person I would ask if you identify with today would be my grandma, Jean Norman, this amazing woman we celebrate. From what I know from Scripture, Grandma's completely whole now and therefore would not be offended or ashamed for me to share that. I know she was a person and struggled just like everyone else. From all these things that were testified about to her caring about safety, I know that Grandma struggled with worry. She struggled with anxiety. And I know we associate these things with caring, and of course she did deeply. But I think if she were here to be able to speak to us right now, she would plead with us to believe in Jesus, to give over whatever it is we may be carrying, worry, anxiety, shame, sin. All of us, including those of us that know Jesus, have an affinity to stray. Thankfully, these three individual stories all have glorious resolutions. Paul, wrecked by a supernatural encounter with Jesus, went on to write all of these epistles that tell us so much about what we know of God. From a church persecutor to a church planter, Jesus saved Paul. After Peter denied Jesus and went back to fishing, Jesus sought him out. He went to the shore where Peter was fishing in his boat and performed the same miracle that he performed when he called Peter to his service and restored him and asked him three times, "Do you love me?" I can only assume one for each time that Peter denied his Lord, not in a scolding way, but just to show Peter that that is what matters, not our failures, but whether we love Jesus. Jesus saved Peter and kept on saving him. Jean Norman, a woman of faith, a gentle and quiet spirit, a person just like you and me, who lived, loved, struggled, and suffered. But there is no doubt in my heart, Grandma Jean loved the Lord. He was faithful in her life. Her suffering was not in vain. And just a quick side note, but I believe this is just really important. Because of her dementia and deteriorating condition in her later years, I think people, if not people, at least me, got to witness the love and faithfulness of a Christian husband in Jerry and how faithful he was to her. I'm so thankful for the testimony of my papa and the example he gave to me on how to love his wife so well. The Lord wastes nothing. And now she too is healed and restored. The common denominator in each of these stories, Paul, Peter, and Jean, is a personal God, one who loved each of them enough to intercede in their lives, a God who sent Jesus to live the perfect life they could not live, Jesus who died the death they all deserved, Jesus who in power conquered death and the grave, and in the most improbable exchange, God counted Christ's righteousness as theirs. Jesus pursues, Jesus saves, and he will do the same for any of us here today. If Jesus is pursuing you today by way of his Spirit through this memorial service, I would encourage you to yield yourself to that pursuit. If you have questions about what this looks like or would like to talk more with someone about Jesus, there are many of us here today that would love to speak with you. There is nothing more important in this life, and I know Grandma Jean would want nothing more than for her celebration of life to be the tool that God uses to give someone else new life. Let's close in prayer. Father, we're just so thankful for the life of my grandma, for the life of Jean Norman, and the testimony that her life is to so many. For each person here today, it is a testament to her life, and ultimately to your goodness and your faithfulness. And we are just so thankful for everything that you have done. Thankful for your son, Jesus. Thank you for saving her and for the legacy that she is leaving through her family, for her faith, through her faith community. Pray for each person in here that is grieving and mourning. Lord, we know that you're close to the brokenhearted. But give us joy, give us hope, and give us peace, knowing that she is with you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Be with us today as we move forward. Help us to love you better. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.